Jesus speaking, he says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Amplified. "From the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it, and by force as a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom, is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion." NIV. "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." Okay, interesting. You know, Jesus is talking about the war that's going on, if you will. The war that's been going on since Lucifer fell, became Satan, and Adam and Eve fell. And there has been a war in this earth. As we continue on, next scripture, we see the part in our covenant, in this part we play as the church. We're not exempt from this war, as you have already figured out, I'm sure. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." That's some strong warfare language. Pulling down, casting down, bringing into captivity to the obedience. These are some strong action warring kind of words that we are exhorted to do and that we have to do as New Testament believers. Take a look at the next slide here. Just kind of continuing on down here. We see this theme just throughout the New Testament. That was Paul. James goes on to say, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." All right, Peter, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Here again, we see twice. You know, first we got Paul's language, but now we've got James saying, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Again, Peter, your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Next slide. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Next slide. Stand therefore, having girt your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So we can see here the language of Scripture. Now, these are New Testament scriptures that I'm going through here. James, Peter, and Paul, all very strongly letting us know that we are in a battle. We are in a war zone, if you will. Oh, the good news is that this battle will not be forever. There is coming a peacetime when the enemy that we're at war against will be in an eternal lake of fire. But we are not in peacetime right now. We're in wartime. And we are having to resist. We are having to deal with things right now. You know, people who've gone on to be with the Lord, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, they're not at war. They're not having to cast down imaginations. They're not having to resist. They're in the third heaven. Those things are not there. They're down here. And while you're down here, and in one of these bodies, with the luxury, this body gives you the luxury and the authority of being in this earth now. Why do I say luxury? Because you have the ability to the kingdom of God. Could you back up to that first slide? I'm sorry, I only to have you, that very first one. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. The luxury that this body gives you, considering all the stuff that works against you, the luxury that it gives you the ability to forcefully take hold of things down here and now. You have the ability to walk in authority. You have the ability to impact the outcome of eternity based on what you do down here. Your life down here is so amazingly valuable. It is so amazingly precious. The enemy knows this. He works overtime. Depression is his number one tactic to try to make you feel worthless. The fact is, he's the father of lies. You're extremely valuable and precious, and your time down here is precious. And I'm telling you what, there is a war that we're in, and we see the language of that warfare here. And as we kind of go to the next slide, Emily, we see that as we're walking through, number one, is that the weapons that we're dealing with here in this warfare, they're not carnal. In other words, if somebody hits you with their fist in your face, the way you'll hit back is not going to be your fist in their face. It doesn't mean you won't resist, but it's not going to be a carnal weapon. Okay? These are spiritual, powerful weapons that God has given us. We don't just lay in a passive state and get trampled on. That's certainly not the language that we see in the scripture. We are actively involved in fighting a good fight of faith. It's just not with carnal weapons. And so from the natural man's perspective, it looks like we're not even fighting. But we are fighting. All right? So as we kind of go through next slide, we see that, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Again in verse 9 of 1 Peter, resist him, steadfast in the faith. Next slide. Ephesians. It says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, that it's not a carnal warfare. But against, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. It's just that we're wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. If you're feeling that wrestling match going on, don't think, what's wrong with me? Is there something wrong with me? Why am I? You're in a battle. In fact, the previous slide back there, that verse 9 says, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. As you're fighting and resisting, wrestling and overcoming some things in your life, know that your brother and sister in Christ are going through the same wrestling matches. All right? And so what we want to talk about this morning, you can go ahead and forward to that first slide, is how to resist the devil. How to resist the devil. This is important. A lot of times we think of resisting the devil, I'm just going to say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, I resist you. That is definitely a powerful, surefire way that God has given us his name to resist the devil. But there are other ways that you resist the devil. The name of Jesus, and we've had messages, sermons just on the name of Jesus, is a powerful weapon of your warfare. Name that's above every name. Praise God. But there are other ways. Sometimes we can get very one-dimensional in the way we resist the devil. We just try to think of whatever it is and just, in the name of Jesus, I resist that. But yet there are powerful weapons God has given us to resist the devil. Things that God has given us that have a powerful resisting effect on those things and powers and principalities that come against us. And that's what I really want to look at this morning, is how to resist the devil specifically. And again, these are going to be some very practical ways. It's not just slap the name of Jesus on and go down the road. There are times when you are going to be led and God's going to say, in the name of Jesus, I resist you and I rebuke that, and absolutely powerful. But I can tell you one thing. If you just say in the name of Jesus and resist it and you continue on the path doing other things, you're going to draw those same powers and principalities on you. It's not good enough to use the name of Jesus like a band-aid and then go on down the road. In other areas of the flesh, you'll find that you're not getting victory. All right? The powerful name of Jesus works complementary with the rest of his word. And so, what I want you to do is not have a single frame of mind as it comes to resisting the devil, but to broaden the way you think in terms of resisting the devil. That when you're doing certain things, you are resisting the devil. Why is this powerful? Why is this important? Because I'll tell you what, if you find that you're in a place where you're not casting down imaginations, you're not lifting up the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the devil, you're not resisting him steadfast in the faith, and you allow the darts to come and the oppression to come and the fear to come and you do nothing, And then you stand there full of darts and an oppressed mind and frustrated, and then look up to God and ask the million-dollar question, why, God? Why did you allow this? Well, if we don't use the weapons of our warfare, the bigger question is, why did we allow it? There are things we allow if we don't use our God-given weapons. If we don't use the God-given ability that He's given us to resist. He doesn't just say resist. He shows us, He's got in His Word, how to resist. And that's what I really want to get into this morning, is how to resist the devil. I don't want that to just be a theoretical. I want to know what I am doing is resisting him. I'm sick of getting beat up. You know, sometimes when you've got that one-dimensional form of resistance where you just say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and it's still on me and I can't get free, and resisting, it just doesn't work. Some of you Star Trek fans, remember the Borg? They'd say, resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. And I've felt that way when I've got this one-dimensional way to resist the devil. I've tried that. It doesn't work. Resistance is futile. You know, huh? Why even resist? May as well just yield. I'm kind of resisted out. My bag of tricks. But when you begin to see the Word of God, and you begin to see the God's Word in the big picture, some of these truths that we've known our whole lives, but we see it in the proper perspective of resisting, we're going to have some aha moments in terms of doing some things. It is important to resist, to not be intimidated. You know, when David went down to the battle, he was going down and he saw Goliath, and they were all intimidated by his roars, all the armies of Israel, as Goliath was roaring what he was going to do and defying the God of Israel. David goes down there, and he's not intimidated by him. And his brothers give me a heart, oh, he just came down to see the battle. And he said, no. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? You know, at some point when you begin to fight these Goliaths in your life, the thing that's going to turn things around, when you kind of get serious about resisting, is there not a cause? You are down here for a reason, for a very small period of time, and there is a cause. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works He's ordained you to walk in. You are a part of the body of Christ. There is a cause. You're not just getting free from stuff for your own sake. You're getting free so you can do what God has called you to do in the earth. Amen. And you begin to see the purpose behind why I want to get free. Not just so I can feel better, but so I can do what God has called me to do. So I can be about the Father's business. That's what David saw. Is there not a cause? My goodness. I'll tell you what, that's the kind of thing that'll cause courage to rise up on the inside of you. Next slide, Emily. Walking in love. This is a powerful way you are going to resist the devil. Next scripture. 1 John 4:18 puts it this way. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Pretty interesting. You know, when you think of love, in the love of God, love is not a passive thing. Just because you're turning the other cheek, that's not what makes a person a doormat. To the natural man, it may look like you're being a doormat when you turn the other cheek. Or when somebody says something to you maliciously and you don't maliciously say something back. You know, you're not just turning a physical cheek a lot of times, you're turning a cheek of your emotions in your heart. When you get those words, you know what I mean, to not fight back. You know, but when you begin to walk in love, you see that perfect love, it says, it casts out fear. Here's another strong action word again. Love casts out fear. When you walk in love, when you're yielding to the power of love, love has the power to resist and drive out fear. The flesh does not have the ability to do that. Love has tremendous power and ability. Let's take a look at the next slide. Jesus kind of giving us some practical instruction along this line. You heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Think about these things. This is the way you're going to punch back. You're going to love your enemies. You're going to bless those who curse you. You're going to do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? Here is a powerful way that you are going to resist the devil. It is love. Love. You know, one of the key people in my whole life, Nikki Cruz, famous gang leader in the streets of New York City, and he was all about rumbling, if you read his book. And rumbles is when they would fight with other gangs with all their different little weapons and stuff like that and get bloody and horrific. Well, he one day had a rumble with a little skinny preacher named David Wilkerson. He got in little David Wilkerson's face and said, "Don't you know I could cut you into 1,000 pieces?" And David Wilkerson said, "Yes," and every piece would be saying, "I love you and God loves you." He didn't fight back with a malicious attack. He fought back with love. The thing that was unique there is it was kind of almost like David and Goliath. He knew whom he believed. He was trusting in God, but he showed love to Nikki. It cast out fear. I think the thing that would surprise Nikki is he's used to people being afraid of him. But here's a person with love who could stand toe to toe. Why could he? Because he had trust in his own ability and his own strength? Not at all. There was a love operating in him that drove out the fear of Nikki Cruz. And he could speak to him. And that love had spiritual power. It had spiritual power that reached into the heart of Nikki Cruz and made a huge impact in his life and ultimately was the thing that caused him to come to Christ. And when we find out in our life, when we're dealing with things, you're dealing with relationship issues, you're dealing with people. Because a lot of times when you're talking about love, you're talking about forgiveness. You're talking about people stuff. You're talking about bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. It's Ephesians 4:31. That stuff. How do I resist bitterness and wrath when it's coming at me with memories of things that were done? It's coming at me with words or maybe speculative words or things that could be, all that kind of stuff that can come against your mind. Those are spiritual forces working against your mind, all right? The way you resist that, number one way is you resist through love, forgiveness. You on purpose forgive. What did Jesus say? He said, to love, bless, do good, pray. Man, that's the stuff you do after you forgive him. Father, in the name of Jesus, if those thoughts, those roaring thoughts come, Father, I forgive this person of what they said, of what they did, in Jesus' name, they are forgiven, even as you have forgiven me. In Jesus' name, I forgive them. The enemy mocks forgiveness, if you've noticed this, when you walk in forgiveness. The enemy will mock, he mocks everything of God. He mocks forgiveness as you being a doormat. The reason he does is because that love is the thing that his bitterness, strife, and wrath cannot stand in the presence of. A powerful way you resist the devil is by saying, Father, even as you have forgiven me, I forgive them. They said this, they did this, it was wrong, in Jesus' name. And if the enemy tries to bring back something up you've already forgiven, you say, no, in Jesus' name, I have already forgiven that. Father, I love them, I pray for them, I bless them. And if the enemy wants to keep bringing things back up, it's going to be a reminder to you to pray for them. And when his attacks become a reminder to you to pray for them, he'll stop bringing that up because that's working against him. Yes, Father, bless them, help them, strengthen them, begin to minister. What am I talking about? I'm talking about resisting the devil. Do you know it's not stuff that makes you feel good, but this has powerful spiritual, and you've just done it. I'm telling you, interrupt yourself sometime and just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive. I release in Jesus' name, even as you have forgiven me. That's contacting spirit with spirit. Do you notice your anger, your strife, your wrath, your malice, all that stuff can't stop some of those things coming against your mind? You've got to respond with love. What does the Bible say? It says fear has torment. And it's not so much the hurt and the pain of the bitterness of what has happened. It's the fear of being hurt again that causes the torment. And so as you're dealing with this stuff in your mind in a relationship orientation thing, it's love, that love that forgives, love that blesses, love that does good. I'm going to do something good. I'm going to proactively go after. I'm going to love. You need to see yourself as resist. That is resisting. You're resisting bitterness. You're resisting hatred. You're resisting anger. And you're doing it in a way that is powerfully impacting that person. Okay? And it is powerfully impacting your heart. And you just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive him. Even as you and God in Christ have forgiven me. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. You're going to never outgrow your need to forgive. You're going to be, as long as you're living in this world, you're going to be regularly forgiving. Praise God. Keep your heart clear. Forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven you. This is a big, big aspect of resisting. It's when you on purpose forgive. Because again, when you got relationship stuff, there's that relationship stuff between you and a person, and there's kind of how it's perceived from the outside. If you're concerned about how it looks from the outside and you're managing stuff, you're fighting the wrong battle. The only thing that matters, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks, it doesn't matter how it's perceived from the outside, the only thing that matters is that your mind is free and clear from any bitterness, wrath, strife, and anger. As long as you've got peace in your own mind, in your own heart, toward all your relationships, I don't care if people think I'm a sucker. I don't care if people think I'm getting walked on. I got peace. I'm doing good. Praise God. I know I'm pleasing my master. I know I'm pleasing my Lord. If I got to manage the political look and how it looks, and I got to fight back and I got to show that I'm strong and I got to, you're playing his game. Your weapons aren't out there. Your weapons aren't carnal. Your weapons aren't how people, your weapons are his weapons. It's love. Love. There is, you can resist that, but you're going to resist it with love. It's that love that's going to drive away the fear and the torment. That love is powerful. When you say, because, you know, again, the enemy will try to fight you over that, but you say, no, it is written. It is written. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And that's what you're going to have to do and begin to say. And when you do that and you begin to pray and you begin to do good and you begin to bless, spiritual resistance of not just, it's not a person in a relationship who wins, who's the forces of bitterness and wrath that are trying to get at you, they're dissipated. They can't stand in the presence of that love. So walking in love, it's a big, big way that we resist the devil. Forgiveness is a form of resistance. You're resisting strife and bitterness and wrath when you forgive, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. And that love that you show here, it dispels the fear of being hurt again. You don't care. I'm not trying to get them to not do that again. I'm just loving as God wants me to love, knowing that as I do, I've got peace. And that love and that fear is dispelled from me. Praise God, cast out. You're fighting a battle on that spiritual plane, seeing through the natural stuff. So the battle we're talking about, it's a spiritual battle. We got to look with spiritual eyes. Next slide. Walking in the Spirit. Another huge way that we resist the devil. Next slide. Galatians chapter 5. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. I love that. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Next slide, Emily. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And go back to that previous slide, if you will. In the Galatians 5:16, we talked before about how, you know, the powerful way that we resist bitterness and wrath and strife is that we forgive. We forgive on purpose, forgive and love. That's a weapon. That is a weapon that destroys bitterness. You can't love. You cannot be proactively loving and blessing and doing good and being in seething bitterness at the same time. Jesus knew that. These are spiritual weapons. Don't worry about how it looks to the natural man. If you do, and you got to look good to the natural man, you're fighting his battle, you'll lose it. Your pride will not let you stay in the Spirit. But when you humble yourself as a little child and fight it on his terms, and just do good and bless, regardless of what the natural man says, you'll be free from those forces of bitterness and wrath and strife and anger. That's all you care about anyway, right? To be free and have a clear thought, praise God, living for God. Same thing here when it comes to the lust of the flesh. This has to do more with, you know, addictions and things like that that you're dealing with. You know, the passions of the flesh that can take all, you know, this goes on to list all the different forms of the flesh in verses 19, 20, 21, adultery, fornication, bitterness, outbursts of wrath, just that whole list of the work of the flesh is right there. And a lot of times these are the things, the lust of the flesh is the stuff that we grab for. It's our comfort food, the lust of the flesh, that we grab for a lot of times to just feel good or to feel relief. You know, you can walk by faith or you can walk by sight and grab flesh stuff. And what happens a lot of times, you get addicted to different flesh things. And you need something to break the power of those flesh things and those flesh things that can have a hold on you. The appetites of the body that war against your mind and get you into these fleshly addictions. And what's the way, what is the number one powerful way that I can resist the pull of the flesh? He says, walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I so love that. I come back to that all the time in my life. If I'm struggling, say, okay, wait now, wait. I got to get pointed in the right direction here. So much of religion is about trying to not sin. The goal is to not sin. That's not New Testament Christianity. Your goal is not to not sin. Your goal is to walk in the Spirit, right? I mean, here you got to pick, if you got the flesh over here and you got the Spirit over here, the Scripture just says walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It doesn't say don't try to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says no, walk in the Spirit and you just won't be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. That's the paradigm. That's how it works in the New Testament. You know, even the concept of repentance. If you're over here and you just say, I repent, I will never do that thing again. Repentance is not saying you will never do that thing again. As long as you're pointed in this direction, you haven't repented yet. You can make 1,000 consecrations. I will never do that thing again. I will never do that. You haven't repented yet. Repenting is a turning. It's not just turning from sin. It's turning to the Spirit. It's turning from the flesh to the Spirit. Praise God. And that's where the power is. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8:2 says. But in order for me to walk in it, I've got to turn. I've got to repent. So a big part of resisting the devil is simply walking in the Spirit. Huge. I could resist in the name of Jesus and use the authority in the name of Jesus, but if I'm still walking this direction, I'm going to still be walking in bondage. Powerful way you resist the devil is when you begin to turn and start walking in the Spirit. And as you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to find along the way little things that will try to draw you off. You know what the Scripture says? Paul says, he says, make no provision for the flesh. All right? That's kind of how it is. When you decide to walk in the Spirit, Jesus said, if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. That's what the enemy does. He tries to get these little traps to make, yeah, okay, it's good to walk in the Spirit, but have this little thing over here or that little thing over there. Little provisions, little traps to kind of turn you around. And you learn this at a young age. Abby has already learned it, I found, at 3 years old. I don't know if it was her birthday or somebody else's birthday, but, you know, she'd had a big piece of cake and ice cream, and she'd had enough. And she wanted another bowl of ice cream. And we said, no, Abby, you can have some more ice cream tomorrow, but not today. So I went to get the bucket of ice cream. She goes, no, Dad, I just want to look at the ice cream. I just want to look at it. Yeah, I know. I've walked in your shoes. You know, or another time, even in my office, a little pile of M&Ms at my desk, and I said, you know, how old are you, Abby? She goes, 3. I said, okay, you can have 3 M&Ms. And she'll take her 3 M&Ms and she'll eat them. And she's looking at that pile of M&Ms. And she knows she can't have any more M&Ms. But she says, Daddy, can I just pet the other M&Ms? Those are the little games we play as adults. When it comes to turning from the flesh and walking in the Spirit. We're going to have little opportunities to just, you know, not indulge, but just pet and look and da-da-da-da-da. But I'll tell you what, one of the powerful ways, this is where you got to realize, because if this, when you're turning, when you're repenting from something, in other words, like we said, if repentance is just, I'm not going to do that anymore, you're going to do it a lot more, if that's all it is. But when repentance is, no, Lord, I'm turning to the Spirit of God. I am turning to you, Lord. Praise God. Whatever that area of the flesh is, praise God, there's a promise of the Spirit. You know, so when I'm turning and I'm walking away, there is no temptation taking me except that which is common to man. God is faithful to provide the way of escape. Praise God. You know, I can take, I can walk in the purity, praise God, of my flesh, of my mind, my body. I can keep focused on you and declare the promise of God over that situation. But I'm walking in the Spirit, and as I do, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that's the important thing that we realize. Man, as I'm doing it, I'm not just going to walk with this complex, oh, I'm just living for God, and I'm not doing that anymore, and I'm not doing that anymore, and I'm not doing that anymore. No, what you're doing is you're resisting that law of sin and death that's causing all the junk in your head in the first place. See that repentance. See that walking in the Spirit is resisting. I'm resisting the devil. I'm resisting that pull. I'm walking in the Spirit, and I'm not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Because if I'm fulfilling the lust of the flesh, I open the door to the enemy. I'm walking in his territory. So it's kind of it's a perspective, how to resist the devil. Forgiveness, you're resisting the devil with love. Walking in the Spirit, you're resisting the flesh with the things of the Spirit, with the things of the Word of God. Setting your mind, you know, taking those things of the flesh that would try to hold you back, try to hold you down, and say, no, the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't need that. I don't need that. And also, walking in the Spirit, it means replacing the time that you would spend indulging in the things of the flesh. Take that same time and use it. If you go to the next slide, Emily. Setting your mind, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Take the same time that you've been doing with this stuff and use that same time for spiritual, godly things that are going to inspire you and encourage you and remind you of God's love for you and remind you of his power in you and remind you of his promises for you. Things above, very vague. But it's that spiritual mindedness that we begin to set our mind on things above. So what does that mean in the practical sense? Take the time. If that represents, you know, TV programs or it represents certain relationships or different things of stuff that you're doing, take that time and begin to walk in the Spirit. And as you begin to walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill. It'll cultivate an appetite for spiritual things. And as you're doing it, this isn't about, you know, holier than thou or consecration contests. This is about resisting the devil, resisting the flesh by walking in the Spirit. Because here again, you can get very confused. I said in the name of Jesus, be gone, but that foul spirit of whatever is still there, but I'm still walking in this direction. Well, you can say the name, but as you say the name, you're going to also need to walk in the Spirit. That's part of resisting. It's not just slapping the name of Jesus on something and doing whatever you want to do. You're going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In fact, if you go back to that previous slide, he says, you know, for the lust of the flesh are, for the flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against flesh, these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Who's the you that you wish? Your flesh wishes. You, your spirit, does not do the things that your flesh wants to do. There's two yous in there. Have you found that in your Christian walk? There's two of you. There's two yous. There's a you over there, and there's a you over here. Praise God. And that's what he's just saying. Walk in this you, and you won't be that you. You know, walk in that person. Be that person. That's faith. And it's also resistance. And the Bible says that by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. As you're feeding your spirit, you're starving your flesh. And ultimately what happens is those appetites, those pulls that used to be so strong on you that you were just like, whatever thought, the thought would come and you just have to, you're like a puppet. That appetite, it puts to death the deeds of the body to where that appetite loses its pull. That appetite dies and it doesn't have control over you anymore. And you're over here looking back at the time when you used to be in bondage to that thing. Well, if you walk in that direction, you can be in bondage again. The reason why you're free is because the law of the Spirit of life has made you free. It's put to death. It's starved that appetite, and you're strong in the Lord in that area. And so one of the ways we resist, it's walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Okay, Emily. And then finally, the next one is, walking in the promises. Take another slide there. 2 Corinthians 9:6 puts it this way. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. God is always able to make all grace abound toward you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. This is a powerful way. One of the most powerful ways you can resist poverty and lack is through giving, through sowing. Giving. We're talking about walking in the promises of God. Giving is a way that you resist lack. Again, if you're trying to do this in a way that's going to impress the natural man, yeah, forget it. All right? I mean, you'll find this whole walk of faith, you lose, you know, the whole ego and reputation thing, as far as, you know, looking cool and all that to the world at the same time. You know, it's about, I'm not talking about being belligerent or in your face or anything, but I'm just saying you got to walk humbly with your God, which means you're going to do things his way. And so you're going to be given. You're going to be given. Even if people shake their heads, you're going to be giving. Giving, giving. When you begin to give and you walk in the promises of God, this is a big thing. Okay, I'm lack, but I'm giving. And your promise is that you are able to make all grace abound toward me, that I, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. He who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, multiply the seed you've sown. Praise God. He'll multiply the seed I've sown. I can know that. I can rest in that. All the promises of God are yes and amen in him. If I'm dealing with something on the negative side, I can go to the positive side of the promise and on purpose put that promise into motion. I can actually give my way out of lack. Give, give, and it will be given to you. That's the way you resist things, through lack. You can resist lack by giving. Praise God. And I could have a whole testimony service in here this morning, I'm sure, of people and the people of God who've experienced this. When you begin to give, and God begins to show himself faithful. Next slide, Emily. Jesus says, give, it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. It applies in every area of your life. You sow in an area, you're going to reap in an area. God oversees this thing. It's an amazing thing. There's a proverb that says, he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay. That's pretty powerful. It shows that God is watching at this stuff, you know, where, you know, and it matters to him. And he is going to bless you. That's one of the ways that we resist lack is through giving. Next slide, Emily. If anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Praise God. One of the ways that we resist sickness is healing, the promises of healing. All right? That is it is a powerful thing to realize. A lot of times healing, well, is it for today? Is it for not for today? If you're feeling sick, if sickness comes upon you, you resist sickness with healing, with the promise. And it's amazing how general the scripture is. Is anyone among you sick? Not the select sovereign few. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Praise God. This is a promise in the Word of God. This is how we resist sickness, believing healing. This is why the importance of healing, believing for healing. It's the way we resist sickness. When you begin to feel things come on you, you got a decision. Do I yield or do I resist? If you're going to resist, you're going to resist with the promises of God. Next slide, Emily. He, when he was reviled, reviled not in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Taking that scripture from Isaiah, reiterating it in our New Testament covenant. By whose stripes you were healed. You were Rapha. Run the test reference on the Old Testament. And 90% of the time, that is talking about physical healing.
You were not, when you got born again, you weren't healed spiritually. Did you know that? No, when you got born again, the old man passed away and all things became new. The old man died and you were made alive. The healing that you experienced through the stripes of Jesus was not a spiritual healing. It was the promise of physical healing. That not only applies to the mortal body, his spiritual gift, but also to the body you're going to get in the future, the glorified body. Those stripes purchased physical healing and wholeness. And so that's one of the things you got to realize as you're talking about resisting sickness, you're resisting things based on the promises of God's word. It's a form of resisting. We don't compartmentalize it off to the side here of, well, do I believe in healing or not healing? See it in the big picture of resisting. No, I'm not going to allow that in my body. I'm resisting it with the promises of God's word, resisting it with the promise of healing. And then the next scripture. And then finally, walking in the spoken word. Next scripture there, Mark 11, 23, 24. Praise God. This is one of the powerful hallmark scriptures of faith. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Let's go into the next scripture here. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amplified, the word that God speaks is alive, full of power, making it active and operative and energizing and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. This is the power of the word of God. And when we begin to speak and declare the word of God, it has a resisting effect. One of the great examples that I think of is when you see the story of David and Goliath, okay? Again, we kind of liken Goliath as kind of like that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And his roars are these loud thoughts in your mind that you're trying to shake that you know are wrong. And here's the way it comes to David. So the Philistine, this is Goliath, said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. All right. Then David said to the Philistine, you come at me with sword and with spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. These weren't carnal weapons. His confidence was not in his rocks. His confidence was in his God, in his Lord. He tapped into the spiritual side. There was a reason why he wasn't quivering with fear when everybody else was. He knew the power of God. He believed in the power of God. And before he ever took the head of Goliath off him, he began to declare it with his mouth. Say, what was he doing? Go back to the previous scripture. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast to sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. This is the power of the spoken word. And you see David speaking it and declaring it. And this is a big part of what we do. This is a big part of resisting those roars. When the roar comes against your mind, it comes against your head, in whatever area we've talked about. Could be in the area of finances. You can begin to declare, praise God in the name of Jesus. I believe every debt is paid in my life. I will have no debt in my life. I call it paid in Jesus' name. Every single debt, I am coming out in every single one in the name of Jesus. Every relationship I call whole and well in the name of Jesus. Every single relationship, I have no bitterness, no strife, no wrath, no anger at all. In Jesus' name, I am whole in every single one, and I walk peaceably before men and before God. Every addiction I call broken in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the law of the Spirit of life has made me free. It is gone. It is done in Jesus' name. Why is this important? This is huge. This is so important. Doing that is obeying a lot of scripture. When you do that, you are setting your mind on things above. When you're doing that, you are walking in the Spirit. When you're doing that, you're resisting those roars of the enemy. When you're doing that, you're calling God true to His word. That is powerful. I'm telling you, let me put a challenge out to you. When it comes to confession, and confession and declaring things, there's a lot of people who go, oh, metaphysical and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'll tell you what. A lot of people stay bound in their little critical spirit and attitude. I don't mind scriptural correction, but I don't like a cheap shot. There's a lot of cheap shots, theological cheap shots that people take at this, but it is against and counterintuitive to the Word of God. Jesus said, it is written. You are to say, it is written. You are to agree with God. You're to call those things, like Abraham, that be not as though they were. If you believe in your heart, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. When do you believe that you receive them? After you get them? Before you get them, you believe that you receive it. That's not metaphysical. That's obeying Jesus. And when you begin to do this, again, let me put a challenge to you. When you are in the privacy of your own prayer closet, and it's you and Jesus in the secret place. You know, this is the first time I ever lifted my hands in praise and worship was not in a church like this. It was in my own private little devotion time. You know, there's some things you try out in your walk with the Lord. And if you're trying to please certain theological groups, you know, you can only go so far anyway. But if you're really serious about going on with God and Him and His Spirit and His Word, try some things out in your own spirit, in your own prayer time. When you begin to hear those thoughts and you begin to declare out loud, no, I'm saying out loud where you can hear it. Not obnoxious where everybody else has to use it, but where you can hear it. No, in the name of Jesus, I am free. I call that relationship whole in Jesus' name. I call that debt paid in Jesus' name. And Lord, and a lot of times when you're declaring and you're making these declarations, they will spring off into prayer. Father, I declare that debt whole, and Lord, I will do the responsible thing that you need me to do, and I will follow, and I will lead after your Spirit. I call that relationship whole, and yes, Father, I forgive that in Jesus' name. And you go off, but you begin, it becomes a form of keeping your heart clear and your mind clear. Declaring the Word of God. Declaring the Word of God. It's not vain repetition. It's what David did, isn't it? He declared some things before they happened. He believed in his heart. Do we have cause to believe in our heart? The next slide, Emily. Actually, the next one after this one. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. Why can we have bold confessions? This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Is it scriptural for me to say, I am free from every lust of the flesh? I am free in the name of Jesus from every yoke of bondage in Jesus' name. Is that scriptural to say that? Is that in sync with the Word of God? The law of the Spirit of Christ and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Not part of the law of sin and death, the whole law of sin and death. There is nothing that I have to be in bondage to anymore today. I can be free from everything because of the law of the Spirit of life. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Ah, it's walking by faith and not by sight. No, you're not hitting back with these things, but you're hitting back. Final slide. You're resisting. How am I resisting? I'm resisting as I'm walking in love. Praise God. I'm forgiving on purpose as I walk in forgiveness and grace and love and on purpose, praying, do good, blessing. I'm resisting bitterness, strife, wrath, anger, clamor, all those different things. As I begin to walk in the Spirit, by taking the time that I have been engaging in things that I know are not right, I take that same time and I begin to set my mind on things above, and by faith, begin to walk in the Spirit, begin to declare God. It could be worship, could be fellowship, could be just good programs, just time in the Word alone with you and God, whatever, walking in the Spirit, walking in the promises of God. You know, when you're dealing, a lot of times we use the examples of sickness or lack. You know, a big way that you're going to resist those things is when you begin to see what the Bible says about those things. Praise God. He is able to make all grace abound toward me, that I may have all sufficiency in all things, abounding to every good work. That's His will. If I'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He adds that stuff to me. It is His will to provide for me. Absolutely. So I walk in the promise of that. And then finally, walking in the spoken word, like David. Praise God. Y'all got different Goliaths that we face along the way. But when we can begin to boldly say, like Jesus told us to say, say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. That means you're deciding. That is repenting, isn't it? Like I said here, you could say, I repent, I'll never do that again, I'll never do that again. But if you don't turn, one of the big ways you repent and turn is when you begin to declare what God declares in his word. I am free in the name of Jesus. These are forms of resisting. So what's my goal this morning? I just want, when you see that phrase, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, it's bigger than just saying in the name of Jesus. It's bigger than that. You can't live on top of bitterness and a bunch of flesh junk and a bunch of stuff and just in a bunch of just downgrading yourself, you know, and just slap a name of Jesus on it and you're going to be free. No. There's other forms of resisting that we need to be aware of as well, too. Yes, we use the name of Jesus. Yes, we take that authority in his name. But along with that, we're forgiving. We're walking in the Spirit. We're walking, you know, in the Word of God and the promises of God. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, for just the Word of God, for the Spirit of God. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost that leads and guides us into all truth. Father, help us to see the big picture of what it means to resist the devil. To not compartmentalize resisting the devil off on the side, but see it integrated in every area of our life. When we make that decision, when we make that decision to forgive, we are resisting strife and bitterness and hatred and anger. When we make that decision to spend time with you, to look to you, we are resisting the flesh and the pull of the flesh. When we make that decision, bless God, I'm believing by faith in Jesus' name for healing, for provision. I'm giving, Father, according to your word. I am looking to you. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I am proactively walking in those promises, knowing that you're faithful, that every promise is yes and amen in you. I'm resisting sickness and lack. And Father, my words, not David talking to Goliath, me talking to my Goliath with my faith-filled words. David could look back and say, you were faithful, God, with the lion and the bear. Lord, how many things can we look back and say you've been faithful? How many lions and bears have you already delivered us from? Help us to have that faith like David and declare in the name of Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Praise God. You're no match for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You're no match for the greater one that's in me. I declare freedom. I declare wholeness. I declare it in my life. I repent. I turn and I see myself free the way you want me to be, Lord, every area of my life. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your peace. Oh, we just pray, Lord, that just by the Spirit of God, you make these things real and alive to each heart here this morning. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith. If your heart can agree, say, Heavenly Father, I will resist the devil, knowing the things I'm going through, all the family of God is going through on this earth. I will resist. I will forgive. I will resist bitterness and hatred with love and forgiveness. I will pray. I'll do good, knowing that it is pushing back, casting out the fear of being hurt again, and producing healing in all my relationships. I will resist as I walk in the Spirit and think on the things of your word. I will feed myself with good things that will remind me of your love, your forgiveness, of your power in me, that will remind me of who I am in you. Cause me to rise up. Be the child of God you've made me to be. I will resist sickness and lack as I walk in the promises of your word to give, to look to you as my healer. And I will resist the roars of the lion. the roars of the devil, the roars of Goliath, as I roar back, as David did, as I move mountains with my roars, with my words, with my weapons that are not egotistical, they're not carnal, they are powerful through God, and they remove mountains, and they silence the enemy, and cause me to be free. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon your name. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise